We'll continuar el servicio en inglés. As was mentioned, I was invited recently to do a trip in Reynosa, Mexico. The brethren in there found out about me through doing a Google search. They were looking for Spanish speakers that could do a Friday night devotional. And they stumbled upon actually one of my mentors, Mark Reeves, who's here with us tonight. Didn't plan that out, but I'm so thankful that he is here with his family. Luke Reeves' father, for some of you who know Luke. More importantly, Kaylin's boyfriend. So, you know, I know now you're like, yeah, I know who that guy is. They found Mark Reeves online and at the Studebaker site, and then they kept seeing this name, J.P. Flores, pop up, and one of the elders that invited me said, oh, J.P. Flores, he sounds like he speaks Spanish. And he went and listened to a few of my lessons and invited me to do a few of their Friday night devotionals, and we'll have a PowerPoint shortly with some photos and images. But that's how I got put in contact with the group. So I did a few Friday night devotionals via Zoom with them. And then eventually they invited me to do a gospel meeting. Now, the intent of this meeting was for them to come out of COVID, to get back to normal. Mexico is still pretty locked down and pretty strict with their COVID regulations. To go into supermarkets or gas stations, things like that, you're still required to wear masks. They take your temperature when you come in. You use hand sanitizer, which I know to Florida sounds like that sounds crazy. But that's the way they're still doing things. And I had the misunderstanding that they had already been doing some things in the building. Well, come to find out, the first Sunday that we were there was the first time that they had met in their building in 2 years. So it was pretty. It was a pretty amazing experience to be a part of, and I'll share some of those things. We're good? All right. So if you look here on the screen behind me, I'll try to stand over here. This was the original building built by one of the men who I'll show you momentarily who started the work in the 70s there. He and another gentleman and their son, his son, not their son, his son helped build this building. In about the early 1980s, they had a member from the community, or they had a man from the community come and place membership there. And he was actually a contractor. So he looks at this building and he goes, it looks like you guys built this backwards. And he said, well, it was built by a preacher, his son, and a member, so we probably did. And so as you walk into the auditorium, the entrance would be this area. You walk into the auditorium, the cry room is all the way through the back of the auditorium. The classes are in the back of the auditorium. You take a staircase to get up there. The bathrooms, you have to walk down the aisle to get to the bathroom. So they built it backwards. But this is what it looks like now. And you'll find this pretty common in most faithful churches, especially within the Spanish-speaking communities. They'll try to show that they are, in fact, a Church of Christ, an Iglesia de Cristo. Within the city of Reynosa, they have two churches, one on the east side and one on the west side. This is the housing where I was at, so this is the house where I stayed, and I'll show you a little bit more about that momentarily. But a lot of the houses have these patio areas, and their patios are located on the ceiling. I don't actually know this girl. I was walking to the church building, and I was like, hey, are you okay? She's like, oh, yeah, I'm just playing up here. And I was like, well, how old are you? And she's like, oh, I'm 6. And I was like, man, you are just so brave. As you can tell, they have their animals and pets. A lot of them keep them on these cement buildings to have their patio area. So this is, again, a picture of Elizabeth, the elder's wife that I stayed with, two of her sons. This is Ivan, who is going to be graduating from college this year, and he has intentions to come down to Florida College once he graduates with his law degree to study to become a gospel preacher. He's an amazing guy. Really cool. And this is a little brother, Alejandro, who started college this year. The parents are hoping that if Ivan desires to, in fact, come down to study preaching at Florida College, that his little brother will also come down. They are both faithful Christians. This is the quarters that they built to house preacher Elizabeth when they bought this plot of land and they started constructing. After they constructed the main part of the house, she desired to have an additional room where they could house preachers or they could house members. And so they built this room so that preachers and families could stay. They put a desk in the back, and then up here in the corner, there's an AC unit because they are very well aware that Americans love their AC. So it blows right onto the bed, and it's a very comfortable room. Victor, who is her husband, pictured here, who is one of the elders there, a third-generation Christian, just said that she built the room for extra storage because most of her stuff is in that room. They had a bunny named Ernesto, fell in love with that bunny, and now I have a bunny. So I wanted to show you this picture. This is a panoramic I took of their living room house. So this would be their living room. They have a TV in the corner, and this was their dining room. In order for them to house all these people for one meal that they were trying to do, they disassembled their furniture, they took out their sofa, and they put it in the bedroom that I was staying in so they would have enough room. And I'll talk more about the hospitality of these members. So this is the gentleman who helped build the building, Rodolfo. He's been a gospel preacher for many years. He came out of the what he says was the institutional church, but he was converted within the institutional church. At 30, he started really studying the scriptures. When he started studying the scriptures, he found some questions and some disagreements about the use of the collection that the church was, or how the church was utilizing their collection. So he presented this to the elders of the church where he was worshiping, and they basically said, "That's awesome that you're studying the Bible, and that you've come to that conclusion. We are not going to change what we do here." And that's just the reality of it. So he decided at 30 that he was going to dedicate himself to preaching the gospel and to start a work. And in order to build that original building that I showed you, he had gotten with a few other men a loan from the bank. Well, the bank had miswired the loan, which can happen when you're wiring money, and so they couldn't find this check for $20,000 that was going to be the deposit for this building. So they're at the building trying to clean out the area where they're going to start construction. They're going to start building this building by hand, and a gentleman walks by, and he's like, "What are y'all doing?" He's like, "We're trying to build a church here." He goes, "What kind of church?" He says, "It's a Christian church, a Bible-based church, known as the Church of Christ." And this man had said, "I've been studying the scriptures. I've been waiting for a faithful church to come my way. Why aren't you building?" And he said, "We're having issues with this money wiring." He says, "Well, how much do you need?" He said, "We need 20,000 pesos. And the guy said, "I've got that. I'll give you the money. When you get the money wired, you can just pay me back." They don't know this guy, never heard of this guy. But because they believe that they, in fact, were a family of Christ, and we'll talk about this tonight as we get into the lesson, they wanted to work together to establish that work. What an amazing beginning to the work there. This is one of the other elders, Victor, who I stayed with, and this is another elder named Jesus. And if you're named Jesus in Mexican culture, you often go by the nickname Chewy, so they call him Chewy. So these are the three elders, Rodolfo, Victor, and Chewy, and then these are two of their their two deacons, Israel and Ricardo. When they asked how many elders we had, and I told them we had four, they were like, "Wow, that's so cool." And then they were like, "How many deacons do you have?" And I said, like, 16 or more. And they were like, "That's incredible." Like, they were just amazed that we had so many men who were able to serve and so much need to have those men fill. But a few of these are multi-generational Christians, Victor and Chewy are third and second generation Christians. I told you Rodolfo's conversion story. And these two were new converts several years ago as well. So this is what the building looks like from the outside. It's gated, and as you walk in, this is the aisle that you come down. They have PowerPoint set up for their gospel meetings. and other teachings that they do. And then this is the aisle you come down. If you need to go to the bathroom, the cry room, you have to walk in between these aisles to get there. Afterward, they don't really have an area to meet in. There's not a foyer or a lobby area. So the brethren just gather together outside and converse, and they're there for 30, 40 minutes after the services is over. And you'll see a lot of neighbors as well that are very well aware of the work that's going on here. This is the nursery. A couple of women from the congregation there, they actually built out this nursery and cry room. They built these things and then they painted it. So all this was done by women of the church. They put in a speaker and a fan. This is one of the classrooms, and right now their main makeup of, as far as the biggest classroom they have, is for their high schoolers. They have about five high schoolers, and they are studying the 16 periods in Spanish, or 17 periods. I'm not necessarily familiar with that material. I know some of you guys are, but that's their setup. And this is their children's classroom, where they have a few more children. One of Ricardo's wife, she does a lot of the, she's an elementary education teacher, so she did a lot of hand-drawn things in order for the children to be able to learn about the Bible, learn about the accounts in the Bible. And the reason I show you guys these things is, again, to express gratitude for the elders here supporting the work. When I need something for a class, like, just go to the resource room and I print it. When I need construction paper, I go to the resource room and I grab construction paper. I needed a map for VBS. And I was like, well, I'm sure I'll find one in the resource room. And lo and behold, I did. We are abundantly blessed with resources, and we have no excuse to not prepare for the classes that we have. So this was the first picture that was taken that Sunday morning. First time in the building within 2 years. By Friday night, this was the size of the meeting. People were standing in that little corridor to get into the building just so they could be a part of this. One congregation that's about an hour and a half south, they brought a group of about 12 people to come and hear the word of God being preached, and I just thought that was so neat. These are just a couple of the baptisms that y'all had heard about. So this is Inocencio. Real quickly, on his conversion, he wanted to get baptized on Saturday. They got to the building and the water wasn't working. And so he said, don't worry about it. Like, I won't do it. And obviously, as a parent, like, I can imagine that's crushing to you. So the next day, when they come to the meeting, after everyone leaves, it's kind of hanging out in the back, and we are about to leave. Victor, his family, and I were about to leave, and he tells his family, like, I got to do this tonight. And so he gets baptized the next day. This is America. This is one of the deacon's daughters, Israel. She was also baptized following one of the evening's lessons. These are my favorite stories. These are really cool. So, this is Diana. Diana is, from what I've been told, the shyest person in that building. This is why she doesn't have a photo, okay? She got baptized and then basically ran out of the building. She didn't want to talk to anybody. She is so shy and she is so nervous. But this is how this came about. I'm in the middle of, I'm in the middle of my invitation. I'm coming to the close and I'm saying, if anyone wants to come forward and desires to be added to the body of Christ tonight in order to put on the full armor of God, and this girl stands up and she goes, I want to be baptized. And the whole congregation looked at her and then they look at me and I'm like, I don't know what to do. Like, this has never happened before. But I think what was so shocking was how out of place it was for her. But she just desired to get baptized. And this is Daria. Daria had spent the night before talking with her family about baptism as well. And we had spoken in our study through Ephesians, especially in chapter 2, about God adopting us as his children, that we are no longer children of wrath. But now we are children, as chapter 4 will describe, children of light. So it's not even that we are in the light, but we are of the light. And that conversation reminded her of the conversation she had had with her father the night before, and so she expressed a desire to get baptized. Every night, I would talk to this lady who was standing out in front of the building. Because it's so hot, it's a desert climate, and many houses don't have AC, you kind of just sit outside to escape the heat of the day. And I met her through her little boy. He was outside playing with some cars, and I went and played with his cars, and, you know, the brethren were like, man, you Americans are weird. I was like, no, they would think I'm weird too. But I started talking to her boy, Ivan, and thus started talking to Susanna. And every night I was inviting her and reminding her that she could come and hear the gospel preached. And through that short week that we had together, we developed a friendship. She was sad that I was going to leave. And I said, you know, obviously the church is literally, I mean, the gap is not wide. You can just come and be with these brethren. So I ask you guys to pray for them and for the opportunities that the brethren might have with her. This guy, Carlos, in the green shirt, we got done with the meeting. He was walking down the street, and he was wearing a Superman shirt. And so I just made the comment. I was like, oh, man, Superman looks tired. And he just, you know, kind of shook his head and laughed it off. And I was like, yeah, I'm not funny in two countries. So so he's walking by, and I was like, hey, how are you? And he goes, not great. I go, well, you know, you want to talk about that? Like, why aren't you doing great? And he goes, why are you talking to me? And I said, I don't know, man. You're walking down the street, and I'm just here talking to you. I was like, what's up? And he goes, why are you talking to me? I don't know what you're asking me, but if you want to talk, I'm happy to listen. He's a Christian. He's actually a third-generation Christian. His wife, 6 months from this picture being taken, or I guess now it would be 7 months, had an affair. And he went to Reynosa to escape his failing marriage. His wife was filing for divorce. He was praying that week. God, I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do. He got so desperate that he was drinking himself to sleep that whole week. And he just cried out to God. And he said, is that why you're talking to me? And I said, I didn't hear a voice from God. Like, I don't know why I'm here talking to you except for the fact that you need reconciliation. And from that moment on, I didn't know if I was going to see him again. The next night, he was at the meeting. I talked to him on Tuesday night. Wednesday night, he was at the meeting. Thursday, he texted me to say, hey, I got caught up late at work. I won't make it. But he ended up showing up late. And Friday, he was there at the meeting. A couple days ago, he texted me. He's like, hey, I'm trying to be reconciled to my wife. Will you please continue to pray for me? I said, absolutely, Carlos, I will pray for you. He's gotten to speak with some of the elders there at Reynosa and started making a few connections with the brethren. But guys, this is not an evangelism lesson. Just talk to people. You have no idea what people are going through. And all you have to do is open your mouth. And who knows if God can use you to bring about reconciliation of one of his children. Just an amazing thing. I know what you guys care about, and I took this from actually Mark. What food did you eat? So here's a picture of some of the food that I ate. These are some of my favorite dishes that I had. Best meatloaf I've ever had in my life. I don't like meatloaf. This meatloaf was phenomenal. So if you want to make me meatloaf, this is the standard that you have. It was rolled with prosciutto, ham, a cheese, and then some spinach. So that's what you have to compete with. This was made by one of the deacon's wives. Some of the other dishes that I ate, Elizabeth, Victor's wife, wanted to learn how to make American chocolate chip cookies. So I figured out a recipe, and there we go. And then this girl, she knew, found out that I like to bake, so she made me her famous Oreo cheesecake, and it was really delicious. She also has an Instagram. She 16, and so if any of you guys want, she speaks English and Spanish, but if any of you guys want to be in contact with her, I can give you her information. This is a potluck that they had on Friday night, and as any good potluck has, we have KFC and CC's available. But the rest of the brethren brought their dishes from home. I wanted to contribute to the potluck, so I said, hey, I'll make mashed potatoes. And Elizabeth pulls out this bag and says, here you go. And I said, whoa, no, like that's not how we make mashed potatoes in the States. So I bought some potatoes. I got to the house, and I said, where's your potato peeler? And she pulled out a knife, and I was like, all right, here we go. So then I spent the time making potatoes. Our ice cream machine at McDonald's never works in the States. They have a whole restaurant dedicated to just McDonald's desserts in Mexico, where you can get an ice cream cone for 69 cents or 14 pesos. And of course, as any good trip to Mexico, you have tacos. So this is, like I said, one of the deacons and his wife. They don't have a large house, and they wanted to host several of the members, kind of like a mini potluck. So they went to Victor and Elizabeth, and they said, hey, we need your house to host this potluck. Notice how I said that, because that's how it was presented. We need your house. They didn't ask for it. They just said, hey, we need your house. And Victor and Elizabeth said, okay. And so this is how many people they invited to their house to have the potluck. We ate on styrofoam plates. We had a bean soup, a few tamales, but it was nothing extraordinary. But the amount of love and hospitality that was found in there was incredible. This is where the other deacon lives, and he lives in a one-bedroom house, two-bedroom house. He has one bedroom upstairs, one downstairs, and the downstairs bedroom shares the kitchen and the dining room area. But this is him and his wife, who is the elementary school teacher, who also does the young children's classes. She was not a Christian when they got married. After being married for 9 months, she was overwhelmed by the love and support that she had found within the ladies of the congregation while she was pregnant with these twin girls. And she became a Christian 10 months after being married to Ricardo. This is another man and his wife who invited me to their house. They live in what is considered, even by the brethren there, the dangerous part of Reynosa. And when you go visit, it is not the safest area, but again, they invited me to share a meal with them. They made me like a grilled chicken and salad dish, which I was so thankful for, because I think it was like Thursday before I had any vegetables in my diet. So it was a very welcome meal. But again, just notice, they don't have fancy furniture. Their house is in the middle of still being painted. They serve me a very humble meal, but with tremendous love. They set out a card table for myself and for Victor and his wife to eat at, and then they set out another card table where their family would eat. So they weren't even sharing in the seating area with us, but they desired to be willing to serve us. This is another family I wanted to talk about. They invited me over for a meal as well. Alejandro and his wife, she goes by Nibby, like that's her nickname. She, when they got married, was not a Christian, and she was not a faithful Christian, but he was. And I asked her, well, what brought you back into the faith? And she said, just seeing the amount of love and devotion and sacrifice that was found within my family, even when I was not doing what I should have done, was overwhelming. And I was not finding that in the world. This young lady over here has a son. His name is Matthias. He is 12 years old. She had a son out of wedlock, and this is Chewy's son, who's also named Jesus, but he actually goes by Jesus. He doesn't go by Chewy. They met. He began studying with her. She was converted, and then shortly after her conversion, they got married. And so he ended up adopting Matthias. And so he is 26. She is 24, and their son is 12. And so I was just, again, very amazed by the amount of reconciliation that can happen. And this is my closing slide, and I think this will play. I want to know if you guys can figure out what song this is. The song is, there you go, this is your family. They are so appreciative that you were willing to let me come down. They have a tradition down there where at the close of every service, they ask for prayer requests. By name, they take prayer requests. And when brethren are visiting from another congregation, they say, we have brother so-and-so visiting from Studebaker Road Church of Christ. Who here sends greetings from this church to that church? And you raise your hand. And they, before I left, wanted me to let you know that they greet you. And they love you. And they're just so grateful that there are elders and Christians who are praying for them in Tampa. They are so grateful that you were willing to allow me to go down there and to encourage them and to be able to help the work that they are trying to do with their young people. There's another opportunity potentially in January where they're going to have a, they're going to try and put on a weekend lecture for their youth and invite the congregations within the area of about 40 or 50 young people to come and be a part of. They asked me if I would be available for that, and I told them I would let them know if they could nail down some dates. But they just thank you guys. And they want you to know if any time you want to go to Reynosa, they'll be there to take care of you. They want you to know that they have a love and adoration for you. And I just want to remind you that we are all striving for the same thing. Whether you're in the United States, whether you're of Anglo descent or Spanish descent or whatever descent, we are trying to get one another to heaven. And so thank you for letting me do that. And at this time, any final questions or comments that you guys have that I can answer quickly? I know I went over my time. I'll just cut my lesson a little bit shorter. So if you want to talk more about these things, I will be available to do that. But at this time, we'll go into a worship service. So.